The primary role of Budget and Management Services is to work with county departments and senior level management to prepare the annual budget. In addition to this, Budget and Management Services takes an active role in assisting the various research projects and survey projects throughout the county. I'm Janet Schaefer. Joining me is my co-host Adam Gobb, and we are here to introduce Taylor Drury to talk about the projects, people, and processes behind Budget and Management Services in Gaston County so that you, the listener, can become a savvy citizen.
Thanks, Janet. We're really excited to have Taylor with us this morning. Just kicking off the Savvy Citizen podcast, the whole kind of thought process behind this is just to give our members of the Gaston County community a little bit more insight into what goes into putting a budget together, you know, serving the citizens of Gaston County. And it's great to kind of kick this off with Taylor, who works with you in the budget office to be able to do a lot of this work.
Yes. So Taylor, tell me a little bit about yourself, your title, a brief bio.
Okay. So my name's Taylor Drury, and I'm the assistant budget manager with Gaston County. I've been working here for about 3.5 years. I'm from Charlotte originally, so close by, and I went to College of Charleston for undergrad, moved back to Charlotte after, and started getting my master's in public administration at UNC Charlotte. So I started off working for Gaston County in a fellowship program and doing some grant writing in the budget office. Started full-time after that and then switched over to budget from grants, and I've been here ever since.
So you've got some grant and some budget in your background. So tell me more about the budget process in Gaston County. When does it start, and what does that calendar look like?
Okay, so when we talk about the budget process, I guess right now I'll just refer to the process of creating a new budget. So that pretty much starts in November, December. The first step, we'll have a budget kickoff meeting with department heads, talk about the process, any changes, any priorities we're going to focus on. And then we really start meeting with every single department in January and evaluating their requests, talking about their successes, challenges. And we start, in addition to evaluating their requests, we're preparing projections for revenue and things that don't really fall under departments. For example, funding partners like the school system, just the county's largest expense. So we refine the budget through several stages of cuts and adjustments until we present the final recommended budget in May. So the board reviews that, and then they'll make their changes and approve it, which is what we call budget adoption, in June. So the new budget process I'm talking about ends, and then we go into what we call amended budget, which is when we're monitoring departments.
There's a misconception that budget is a six-month job. So you're technically currently in the off-season right now, right? So tell me about the things you work on during the off-season.
Yes, I wish we got 6 months off. That would be great, but we don't. So in the off-season, like I said, we're monitoring and amending department budget, so that's year-round. So that's going on while we're preparing the new budget and afterwards. But in addition to that, we do a lot of other things that are kind of related to the budget that aren't necessarily preparing a new budget. So we'll work with our financial advisors to issue debt, which we just did. That's a very intensive process, and it's also really fun to get involved with. And then we'll help our finance department prepare for the audit. Not as fun to do. And then in the meantime, we're also preparing monthly budget reports, and then we're working on a lot of what I call non-budget related reports and things throughout the year.
Taylor, you talked about the amending the budget process after it's been adopted and we start the fiscal year. Does that mean that the county's going back and spending more taxpayer dollars than we originally planned, or kind of how does that work?
That's a good question. So it could be spending more or less money. You're just kind of assessing as the year goes along if you're bringing in more than you anticipated, less than anticipated, you need to respond to that. So, or if departments are spending more in one area and less in another, then they'll transfer money between their accounts and things. So that's what we talk about when we say amended. Or, for example, if we get like grant that we applied for let's say $5,000, so that's, we're increasing our budget by $5,000, and so that will go to the board.
So going back to the off season, you mentioned that you'd work on some projects outside of the budget. Can you talk a little bit about what those other projects are?
Yeah, so a lot of those projects are more, our department's called Budget and Management Services, so the and management is where I think this comes in. A lot of what we do is taking information from one department or multiple departments and kind of condensing it and presenting it in a certain way, depending on who the audience is. And oftentimes our audience is the board or the public, because a lot of things are published for the public. So being able to take information that you know nothing about, for example, yesterday I was working on a report for solid waste about recycling. Didn't know a single thing about it, but you have to be able to take information about things that you don't necessarily know about and put it together in a way that makes sense to people and add visuals and design and that kind of thing.
So what you're saying is budget isn't boring?
No. As boring as I'm making it sound, probably, it's very exciting.
Well, your background wasn't budget initially, because when you started in college, you were kind of on a completely different track, right?
Yeah, so like I said, I went to College of Charleston, and I actually was an art history major and minored in studio art and arts management. Graduated, had no idea what I wanted to do, just assumed I'd work for an art museum or something. Never wanted to be an artist, but I was always very art-oriented. So when I went to get my master's, I started off in arts management as that concentration. Again, still thinking I wanted to work for an art museum or something in those lines. And I was working for a lot of arts nonprofits and just didn't feel connected to it or like I was making a difference in the way I wanted to. And that's something I love about working in local government, because I feel like I get to make more of a difference and be more involved in the community in local government than I was in nonprofits, which a lot of people wouldn't expect probably working in government. And then in my job, I get the creative freedom to be able to do reports and design and things. So I get to use my art background in a budget setting, which you would never probably think.
Yeah, it's pretty apparent in the documents that you produce, and especially the budget book.
Thanks.
It looks really good.
Well, and that's one of those things that you've got a lot of kind of that visual aspect to it. And so when you're opening that budget book, you're not just looking at, okay, here's a bunch of spreadsheets and tables and numbers and stuff, but you're able to kind of draw that out and use some different graphics and stuff to, I think, make it not only helpful for staff, but helpful for the public in general, that anybody that lives in Gaston County could pick up that book and kind of flip through it and go, okay, I understand kind of what they're talking about here.
Yeah, definitely. And in my budgeting class in college, one of the first things they taught us was budgeting is an art, not a science, which I didn't understand at the time because I'd never worked in it. And now I completely get it because I came into this job with no financial background, no math background. And it's really not about that. It's about presenting the information in a way that makes sense to whoever you're trying to get the information across to, usually the public.
So we kind of danced around this question a little bit, but what's one thing that you would want the public to know about your job that you think is maybe kind of a misconception or something that maybe people think that you do that you don't, or vice versa, something that people wouldn't ever think that you do a lot of?
Mm-hmm. This isn't really a misconception, but I would say when people think about government, and this includes myself prior to starting this job, I automatically think of the president and the federal government, and I think of those kinds of regulations. And then when I think about providing services, I automatically think nonprofit, which is what I want to go into, because you think that's really who's impacting people. But I think people overlook local government a lot. And it's not really a misconception. It's more they just overlook it and don't really understand how it impacts their lives every day, whether it's determining what kinds of businesses are opening or expanding in your area or what kind of housing is being built. Your local politicians and public servants have a lot of input or impact into your everyday,
which is a good shout out to our next episode. There are some local elections going on along with the presidential election, so that'll be a good opportunity for people to voice their opinions through the local election.
Yes,
and that's, we're going to be bringing in somebody from University of North Carolina at Charlotte, a professor in their political science department. We're also going to be speaking with Gaston County's Director of Elections, Adam Reagan. So we're really looking forward to that. That's obviously, you know, just a couple weeks away before the election. A lot of people are really excited about it, but there's a ton of questions, a lot of misinformation out there. And so I think to the extent that we can, we want to try to provide information that people can rely on and know that, you know, when they're going to the polls, whether it's, you know, submitting a absentee ballot or voting early or voting on election day itself, that there's a very stringent process for making sure that your ballot is counted and that only your ballot is counted. You talked a little bit about the management side of budget and management services. Are there different projects that you get tasked with that you're just kind of like, why did you pick me for this?
Yeah, I can speak to one very specifically. So we had our first ever joint meeting with the Mecklenburg County Board of Commissioners, and it was about planning, which I know next to nothing about. And I was tasked with writing the white paper, which is basically like a research paper about how the two counties can collaborate and transportation issues and where to go next, knowing nothing about it.
And so you basically have to, like, it's almost like a crash course in college where you've basically just got to cram and study and basically make yourself into a quasi-expert to be able to write this in a really short period of time.
Yeah, we presented to a master's class in budgeting, or like a budget 101 course, and that's one of the main things we talked about. Like, you have to know enough about kind of every subject just to be able to talk to at least someone that works in it, or talk about it for 5 minutes, or write up a little report, which I think that's one of my favorite parts about the job. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Plus, working with departments on their budgets, you learn through that process as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that maybe we should do, since this is the first episode, is just give the audience a little bit of a background into the two of us, since we're going to be co-hosting this podcast.
Okay.
So Janet, you've been with the county now for, what, nearly a decade?
Almost 10 years. I'm a few months away from getting that 10-year pin.
Wow.
The coveted 10-year pin. I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. I hope this is what happens in the background while I'm accepting my 10-year pin.
Right.
I hope there's a whole crowd whistling for me and all of that. But.
Or there just might be.
You could play that every time I talked, and it would be applicable.
It's COVID. It's safer to do this outside alone with birds.
You're right.
You're right. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah, it's been about 10 years. So I actually have a way different background as well. Like Taylor started out with art history degree. I actually started with the county working in Child Protective Services at the front desk after I graduated from UNC Asheville. And just kind of moved along. So I went to, I worked in the Medicaid office for a little while. I worked at the domestic violence shelter that's under Gaston County as well for a while. Even had a few months in a planning department in Belmont.
Oh, wow.
And so.
So you should have written that report.
Probably, but you had it. You nailed it. So I've had, you know, lots of different experiences in local government, all during this time I worked for Gaston County. So I knew that I enjoyed data, and I learned that when I worked at the shelter. I had a lot of grant reporting I had to do. So that kind of led me to pursue an MPA, a Master's of Public Administration. And from there, I just applied for the budget job, and it's been a great decision because I really do love it. Sounds boring. Our job sounds really boring, but I really do love it.
And maybe it's because I work with the two of you on a fairly regular basis, but it's like I get to see some of the behind the scenes of what you do, and it's like the passion that you both have for the job. You know, there's probably some measure of being nerds that helps.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
100%.
I get nothing excites me more than figuring out an Excel formula or something in Excel. That's the most exciting thing in the world to me. And I'll brag about it forever, too, after I figure it out. So.
I feel like the citizens should be comforted by the fact that we have a lot of, like, nerds in the different specialties, the different departments, and people that are really passionate about, you know, what they like to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to the misconception question, too, because that is one thing I wish the public knew. Like, there's a lot of people here who actually really care about their jobs and they're passionate about the community and making things better.
And it goes beyond kind of the politics. I think a lot of people pay attention to the politics and the rhetoric, but it's, you know, behind the scenes and making county government work are, you know, the folks just like you guys that are kind of the civil servants that put in the work, you know, the 40 hours a week. And we kind of joke about that because a lot of times it's a lot more than 40 hours a week. But, you know, making the wheels turn for government and actually getting the citizens the services and responsible government that they need.
And it's also always, we're always working on improving a process. I think everyone in the county really is, because you're always working to make things more efficient and, you know, keep taxes as low as you can for the citizens. So we're always working on a project that's attempting to improve a process. And that kind of keeps my passion for things going as well, knowing that we'll play a part in hopefully fixing something throughout the county.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I've been here since February, and that's been one of the things that I've seen almost immediately. It's just kind of the passion for folks that work here in wanting to make things better kind of every day.
Right. So Adam, you came at a very interesting time to the county. So tell us about your background and how you ended up here at such a crazy time.
So I was a journalism major. I'm from Arizona originally, and I spent most of my first 10 years or so as a newspaper editor. We moved to North Carolina in the spring of 2017, and I switched over. I was working for TV, so I spent 2 years working for a TV station in eastern North Carolina. It was actually WCTI, which is the one during Hurricane Florence where our station got flooded out. And so after that, we were working out of a community college and working out of tents in the parking lot of our building while it was being totally taken down to the studs and redone. And so I say all that to bring you to today, where I started working for county government here in February. And just basically a few weeks after I started, we jumped right into COVID. And so much of COVID has been adapting to new realities on the fly, almost on a daily basis. And I feel like coming from CTI, where we really had that whole experience for almost a year after Florence, in the time I was there before I left to come out to the to Gaston County in the Charlotte area, we had to basically throw almost everything out the window and basically go, okay, forget what you know about producing TV and forget what you know about getting this job done. You just have to work with the resources you have available today, and they may change tomorrow, but how are you going to get a TV, a news program on the air today? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, in some sense, what we've had to do with government with COVID is how are we going to continue to function to serve the residents while also looking at ways to be able to keep people safe, try to continue to support the business community through a really difficult time. And it's been really interesting to look at a lot of the conversations behind the scenes. I've been fortunate enough to be in a lot of the meetings with Dr. Eagle, with the leadership team, with the public health department, and just the amount of planning and coordination that goes into each of the decisions that is made is really impressive. And it's, you can tell just the emotional burden that it takes on these folks too, because they want to make sure that they're doing the absolute best that they can for Gaston County citizens. And I mean, some of the decisions that the elected officials have had to make and the recommendations we've had to make to the board, they've been tough calls. I mean, having to go to essentially a shutdown back in I think late March, that's tough. I mean, it's, you're telling people that you really need to stay home, that a lot of businesses had to shut down for a while, and this, we knew that this was going to have an impact, and the county did a lot in terms of making money and resources available to individuals that were hurt by this, in terms of getting them money to help pay for rent or childcare or just get food on the table, and then making small business loans available as well. But I mean, my gosh, it's been a whirlwind, mm-hmm. to say the least. And some people have asked me, I think you've probably even asked me before, it's like, do you regret it at any point? Do you, jumping into something like this? And I really don't. As hard as it's been at times, I'm glad that I've been able to be here. It's such a good group of people to work with, and I'm really proud of the work that we do for the citizens of Gaston County. And I mean, part of the reason for starting this podcast, I think, was to really kind of help open the door behind the scenes to show people kind of a lot of the work that goes on behind the scenes.
Right.
So I have a question. Pandemic aside, mm-hmm. since you came from news and journalism, what's been the biggest surprise working for government?
That's a good question. I was fortunate in the sense that when I did newspapers before, I covered a lot of city and county government, and I was one of those nerds that would sit in on the budget process and listen to them kind of go through the budget line by line. And so from an outsider's perspective, I had probably a better than average knowledge of what the process looked like than your typical citizen was, just because of that experience. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I think most citizens don't realize is just they talk about like how government can be slow sometimes, and it can, and yes, that can be frustrating at times, but it's also good because there's so many checks and balances there.
Right.
And so, you know, there was a contract that I had to have approved recently for a project that our office is working on. And there were six different departments that had to approve it. And it's like, oh my gosh, like how long is this going to take? Like they've got to review it. Legal's got to return it, review it. Finance has got to review it. Budget's got to review it. All these different folks. But it's good because you're making sure you're not missing anything, that you're not, breaking unintentionally any spending laws or any rules in that regard, and that, you know, taxpayers are getting kind of the best bang for their buck. And people are really good about saying, you know, could we do this differently? Or, hey, did you know this? Like, we could do this process better. Mm-hmm. So that's been really good.
That's what I always say when people talk about government being at a much slower pace than private businesses, or they mention red tape. It's mm-hmm. there to protect the county's best interest, the citizens' best interest. So slow is good. It means things are thought out.
Right.
Yeah, there's a fine line between being too reactive, and you don't want your government jumping.
Yeah. Now, we did see that kind of come to a head with COVID, because we're dealing with federal funds and also federal guidelines and fiscal policies and local fiscal policies and all kinds of things. And it was really hard to kind of, you know, meet the demands that were needed sometimes we were needing to purchase equipment because it would have disappeared, the next day. So, but then also trying to fit that in with the financial policies to make sure that we're doing everything the right way. So that red tape, so it can definitely get in the way, but it definitely helped us even realize that we needed to identify a policy for emergency purchases. So, we've never experienced anything like this. So moving forward, I think we'll be a lot more prepared.
And we're still going to be dealing with COVID the next year. I mean, it's just until we have an approved vaccine that really shows to be effective and can be widely distributed and people are taking it, we're going to be in some form of having to deal with this and as a county government having to react to it and having to plan around it. Mm-hmm. And so much of, I think, what has been difficult since February or March is trying to anticipate what the next thing is going to be. And because this is so new and unexperienced, I mean, even compared to, H1N1 or some of the other things that public health has had to go through in the past, like the scale and scope of this has just been so different.
Right.
Especially from a budget perspective, like your job, when you're creating the new budget, you're working on something that's so forward looking and forward thinking. And so trying to do that in the middle of a time where people are responding to emergencies that need immediate attention from the board, from management, from staff, it's really hard to get that mindset when you're just reacting to everything.
While also trying to monitor the current year. So
yeah.
So the pandemic happened at probably the worst time for a budget office. We couldn't predict anything. It was an everyday thing. We were looking at what kind of emails were going out on listserv, statewide emails, nationwide emails, about what to expect with taxes, sales taxes, revenues, sure. All kinds of types of expenditures, what kind of relief would be provided. So it really did happen at such a crazy time for a budget office. I was very concerned about current year while also trying to plan and help departments work out new goals and new initiatives. Between the department meetings and the actual creation of the budget, two different worlds.
Sure.
So there were a lot of things that, were forward-looking that probably have had to be put on hold because of COVID, but we're getting back. We're getting back there.
Well, and just in the spring, I mean, for the most part, it was just the two of you working on the budget. I mean, it's not like you've got, like, oh, we've got eight other people in our office that we can farm this out to. It's just you two.
Yeah, is that scary or reassuring?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
I guess we're a good two people to have,
right?
But we're only two.
I really would like to say it was just Taylor. It was just one of us. Taylor did the entire budget book by herself, which was
Everyone
just huge.
Go read it.
Yeah.
Wait, it's not uploaded yet. Wait till tonight.
But it's funny. I mean, I think a lot of times one of the misperceptions that people get about government, it's like, oh, it's just this huge bureaucracy and there's all these people that are, aren't doing anything. And it's like, maybe that's true in some cases. I really haven't seen that here.
Yeah, and just being in the budget office, you see people are expected to do a lot of stuff with a very little amount of resources.
Yeah.
So we get crafty sometimes and probably work way more than we should. But And I'd say that's probably true for most people who love their jobs and most people in government.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else that we didn't hit on about kind of your experience working in Budget Tailor that you wanted to mention before we kind of wrap up?
Nothing. I'll just probably put in a plug. We love citizen feedback, and we really want to increase public engagement and input in the upcoming year, especially in light of COVID. So please don't hesitate to email us, reach out if you have any questions, come to public meetings, please show up and voice your opinion. It really is important.
So the public hearing for the budget is in May, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it'll be at the second Tuesday, no, the third Tuesday.
I think, do they meet second and fourth Tuesdays?
Probably be the fourth Tuesday of May.
2021.
So that's a chance that the public can come out and, I guess, speak to the commissioners if they have opinions they want expressed or, and the recommended budget book goes up on the website.
Yes.
Around that time as well. So, we appreciate feedback. And we're also working on a financial dashboard that we will hope to put on our website that will kind of allow both the public and county departments to monitor the budget as well throughout the year. So that's exciting for us.
Well, just a really big step for transparency, and not that we don't make every effort to be transparent, but it's another way to make it really easy for citizens to kind of see how tax dollars are being spent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and a lot of the issue we've had, we obviously promote transparency, but it's really hard to take something as complex as the budget and put it in a format that the public can understand and interact with. So I'm really excited that Janet has worked on this project, and it'll be going live soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Taylor Drury, Assistant Budget Manager. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit in on this first episode of Savvy Citizen. Until we talk again, I'm Adam Gobb.
I'm Janet Schaefer.
Thanks for listening.